Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is December 22nd, 2022. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Blessed Be Magic. So let's get your take going. Our quote of the day is, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear," by Buddy the Elf. So, we are talking today about anxiety reducer tea from Convergence Healing. This tea has licorice root, fennel seed, skullcap, kava kava root, St. John's wort, hawthorn leaf, and flower, as well as catnip. So, we're going to talk a little bit today about hawthorn leaf. This comes to us from traditionalroots.org, written by Dr. Mahalia Freed. Hawthorn is medicine for the heart on all levels. Indigenous to countries across the Northern Hemisphere, this small thorny tree has a long recorded history of medicinal use in both Europe and China, as well as North America. Poetically and significantly, hawthorn is a member of the rose family. Hawthorn's place as a heart medicine was noted by a Greek physician. Medical herbal research has validated that hawthorn is effective for increasing the strength of heart conditions. Oh, I'm sorry, heart contractions. I was about to say, like, increasing the strength of conditions. But no, increasing the strength of heart contractions, increasing blood flow to the heart, decreasing blood lipids, and modulating blood pressure. As a flower essence, hawthorn helps open the heart to giving and receiving love and can help in healing heartache. It encourages self-love and self-acceptance, as with many heart-acting energy remedies. Hawthorn helps us develop courage. The very etymology of the word courage draws our attention to the heart. So it is said to help with coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, post-heart attacks, elevated blood lipids, heat, inflammation, restlessness, anxiety, ADHD. Interesting. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from the MiamiHerald.com. Secrets of a Temple, offerings to ancient water goddess uncovered in Greece. All right. Archaeologists have known about the ancient city of, Archaeologists unearthed the ruins of a temple reconstructed during the late 4th century BC and early 3rd century BC, says a news release. The dusty, worn-down ruins were once a monumental staircase leading to two buildings, a main temple and a secondary structure, experts say. Excavations found five offering cases in the once-tiled floor of the temple, archaeologists say. Instead, these cases, researchers found well-preserved, elegant vases. One vase had a telling inscription, AKESTOIDAMARTI, and it is believed to be dedicated to the goddess Demeter. Archaeologists translated in a Facebook post from the ministry. Demeter is an ancient Greek goddess associated with earth, fertility, and the power of water as a life source, the ministry said. The sister and consort of Zeus, she was also worshipped as a goddess of agriculture. Digging deeper as the once sacred site, archaeologists found a pit with art from 600 BC, centuries older than the other discoveries. And these artistic offerings included clay female figurines, glass objects, and terracotta animal figures. Piece by piece, archaeologists concluded that the temple was rebuilt around 2,300 years ago after an earlier structure collapsed, experts say. In between, people used the open-air space to worship the goddess Demeter. The ancient city of Phalasarna, sometimes called Phalasarna, still had more secrets to reveal. Super cool. I love when they just find, like, these, like, incredible things. Because after all, like, I don't know. I think some of us still have this idea that, like, all that could be found has been found. And sometimes I think like that. So it's just cool when we find something cool. All right. So I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, December 22nd. The waning crescent moon sees some exotic places in Sagittarius today. Here, the moon squares Neptune. The square to Neptune very effectively clouds up our vision so that the way forward is unclear. It'll be hard to make any significant moves today without doubting yourself. This aspect can make it very difficult to keep a clear head. Best not to make any big decisions with this influence. Most things can wait. If they can't, Neptune works much better with intuition, so trust your intuition more than your logical mind if you need to do anything important today. Your daily moon mantra is, "Intuition is seeing with the soul." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Being a witch is all about working with your personal power. Have you ever wanted to celebrate who you are with stunningly beautiful yet minimalist witchy jewelry? You've got to check out Blessed Be Magic. They create modern and minimalist jewelry for witches to remind you of your power. It's not hard to understand why they have over 900 five-star reviews from witches worldwide. Take their tiny pentacle necklace, for example, one of their most beloved pieces. Its minimalist yet elegant design makes the perfect everyday talisman for today's witch. Check them out at Blessed Be Magic, that's M-A-G-I-C-K, spelled with a K at the end, and use the code WITCHDAILY15 for 15% off your first order with them. Shipping is free within the USA, and they also ship worldwide. Again, it's Blessed Be Magic, with M-A-G-I-C-K at the end, .com. I can't wait to see which pieces you choose.
All right, so we have a question for one of our listeners. Andrea on Patreon says she wants to hear about Christmas Yule or winter folklore from other countries, or perhaps just a scary ghost story. Scary ghost stories. Scary Christmas ghost stories. Okay, yes, Andrea, this is such a good idea. Oh my gosh. So yeah, so for those of you who don't know, they used to tell ghost stories for Christmas. And why we've dropped that, I could not tell you. But let's get into it. This comes to us from denofgeek.com. Andrea, this was such a good idea. I'm so into this. Thank you so much for suggesting it. I don't think I would have come up with it on my own. According to denofgeek.com, Scary Christmas Stories, A History of the Holidays Ghostly Tradition. It always is Christmas Eve in a ghost story, Jerome K. Jerome said in 1891. In the English countryside, dinner has ended and the company has retired to the drawing room. They gathered around the fire as the parson, who sat in a high-backed oak chair, proceeded to tell of goblins and ghosts. The squire, not a superstitious man himself, listened intently as the parson spoke about the crusader who rose from his tomb for a nighttime ride. The old porter's wife added to the tale with her own of the crusade's march on Midsummer's Eve, when fairies became visible. Such was Christmas night at Bracebridge Hall, England, in 1820. The story set in the fictional manor was written by American author Washington Irving and published in 1820 in the fifth installment of The Sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon Gent. This was less than 3 months before the world was introduced to the Headless Horseman in the legend of Sleepy Hollow, prior to the start of the Victorian era, and when Charles Dickens was only 7 years old. So 23 years before Ebenezer Scrooge changed his ways on the holiday in 1843, and 143 years before Andy Williams first sang about the most wonderful time of year in 1963, Christmas had already been established as a season for telling ghost stories. Irving's English countryside reminded readers of the idea of the paranormal and Christmas connection, but he didn't invent it by a long shot. Before it was quote-unquote Christmas, it was midwinter, solstice, Saturnalia, Yule. It was the longest night of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. It represented death and rebirth, and was a time when the veil between the worlds was thin, and it took place around December 21st. Prior to the emergence of what is known as the seasonal mascot, Santa Claus, there was Sinterklaas, or St. Nicholas before him. There was the long-bearded Odin. There was a band of hunters, fairies, armies of the dead across Yuletide and the wild hunt of Old Norse and Germanic pagan beliefs. And much like Odin and Solstice were appropriated or enveloped into Christmas, so were the seasonal pagan songs that were later turned into carols. As Christianity spread, folklore incorporated the supernatural with the religious holiday. The anti-Claus Krampus is probably or possibly from pre-Christian era, but the beast of Germanic and Eastern European origins became a counterpart to Saint Nick. We talked about that already a little bit. So the idea of paranormal stories being told during the winter had already been documented in fiction by 1589. So it was a thing. So like Dickens talking about ghosts were weird, you know? So let's see if we can find a spooky ghost story to tell, huh? Oh, before we do that, we have a little bit of insight into why this never really caught on in the U.S. Based in folklore and supernatural, it was a tradition the Puritans frowned on, according to Smithsonian Magazine. So it never gained much traction in America. Washington Irving helped resurrect a number of forgotten Christmas traditions in the early 19th century, but it was really Dickens who popularized the notion of telling ghost stories on Christmas Eve. The Christmas issues of the magazines he edited, Household Worlds, all the year round, regularly included ghost stories. So if you're like, well, why is this, why does this seem to be such a European thing, but we never did it here? The Puritans just were not down for it. But I'm going to find a spooky story. I'm going to find one. Okay, so I found at least some ghost classic Christmas ghost story kind of summaries. So this is from Between the Lights by E.F. Benson, 1912. This tale is set on Christmas Eve and looks back on the one the year before when our host had a vision of primal, shack-entombed beasts advancing upon him as he sat on the lawn and watched his wife and a good friend play croquet. The creatures advanced. Paralysis had set in, and it is by a Christmas mercy that the hold is relinquished. Daytime haunts can seem even less natural than the midnight variety, and this one proves portentous when the vision is actualized after a fashion before we all collectively shudder and call for more mulled cider, the tale completes. Let me find one more. This one is from Christmas Reunion by Sir Andrew Caldecott in 1912. This one comes from a volume called Not Exactly Ghosts, an apt summation of Caldecott's approach. The things in his story could kind of happen on their own. Again, we begin at a family holiday party, and there's a guest who's a prick. Everyone is pleased when he leaves, and wouldn't you know it, he heads out the same time as Santa Claus, or rather, the Santa the family thinks is hired to put on an act for the kiddos. The prickish guest, we learn, did his uncle a bad turn once upon a time, and this Father Christmas knows about it. Worse still, he's avenging Father Christmas. Santa is the ghost in this story. Maybe or not, because Santa could just be a pissed off kin. You get to riddle it out for yourself. Oh, this is so fun. One more. This one is Smee by A.M. Burridge in 1931. My personal favorite. At this party, we're playing a form of hide and seek in which the seeker advances upon the hider and says, "It's me," which uttered quickly and breathlessly enough becomes Smee. It's Christmas Eve. This is a big old rambling house, but only one tiny problem. There's an extra player who does not number among the guests. A sort of moral downing the nog and playing hide and seek can make you want to pull a Scrooge. Reading the story like drinking too much nog would be enough to have you cancel Christmas next year. If only it wasn't so much fun to get messed up on the stuff. That's so cute. This was so fun. So we need to have somebody write. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Here's what we need to do. We need to find someone to write a super, super scary, classic Christmas, witchy tale of horror. Do not ask me how this will happen, but it will. All right. So, witches, that's all I've got for you today. I do want to give some shout-outs. One to listener April Reinhardt. April, you perfect, glorious unicorn nurse. Teresa Dawn Cashman. Teresa, you avant-garde mystical oracle. Judith, you loyal, tenacious Valkyrie queen. And finally, Alina Randazzo. Alina, you charming, scintillated starfish. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull. Our card today is Hell from the Deep, Dark, Dangerous Oracle. Things can never stay the same. Change must be accepted. Be flexible. Keep walking through the difficult circumstances. Do not stop and get stuck. Acceptance allows you to move on faster. Surrender what is no longer yours. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources. Anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them, no one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.